Welcome to Nerdy Four, the podcast where I, Amy Brown, find out what cool and interesting and funny people are nerdy for. I have a very cool, very funny person in my podcast chamber slash costume sanctuary. I've got Plug Chapman here. Hi, Plug.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm good. That's the camera if you want to look at it.
How goes it?
Just teasing.
How goes it? This is my first podcast. I don't know how. I'm just joking.
No, that cannot be true. Yeah, so Plug's been doing comedy for 14 years, and you're from Atlanta. This is like your home base, but you travel everywhere. You have you're going to Mexico City.
Mexico City.
Calientes.
My Spanish is terrible, but I'm going to try.
Are you going to do comedy in English? Is it for the expats there?
It's definitely in English. Well, it's a restaurant, and they get a lot of expats, so yeah.
That's cool. How'd you get that gig?
Joe Pettis, of course. Joe Pettis is the man. He hooked me up. I hit him up. I was like, hey, let me get that plug, no pun intended, to the Mexico, to the Mexico show.
Yeah, your name is spelled P-L-U-G, Plug. Yeah,
absolutely.
Plug Chapman. It's pretty cool. Is that a nickname or is that...
It's more of a street name
from back in the day. Are we an OG? I'm going to use all my street words. Street cred?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, Amy does not know what that would stand for.
I grew up in a dirt road.
Hilarious.
That's not why you don't know that, Amy. It's because we're in a certain zip code and tax bracket in this house.
I'm chronically white. It's a problem. I'm going to skin cancer, the whole thing. Let's go.
It's, I used to... Before comedy, I had a different life.
What were you before? Oh, really?
Amy, you just give a guess.
Did you sell drugs?
It was just weed, not drugs. Weed is not drugs.
Medicinal, yes. So it was basically like the gummies that make you go to sleep at night.
Oh, no. It was just, no gummies back then. This was just, we used to call it reefer back then.
Oh,
that's
a long time ago.
Yeah,
I saw that in a 1970s movie.
It's been a minute, yeah.
And I know black people don't age, so how old are you?
59. No, I'm joking. No, so it came from I was like the go-to guy. People would call me for anything.
Were you chatty? Because you're very charming.
I don't know.
You got to get an extrovert drug dealer.
I used to, people call me, they'd be like, hey, man, I need plane tickets or I need.
Oh.
Weirdest request I ever got was a bulletproof vest.
Where are they calling you from? They just knew you have the hookup. Was this before the internet? Were you the Google of your time?
Hey, it kind of.
OG Google?
It was before the internet really hit. No, hell no. The internet was around.
Okay.
It's more like a network. You know, if you know somebody and they say, hey, Amy, we need this. You're like, well, I got a guy.
You knew all the guys.
And I just happened to be the guy he would call. And so I used to have a saying that if I can't get it in 3 phone calls, it don't exist.
That's amazing.
And then I got caught up in somebody else's trouble and the feds took my phone. And
I did not. The federal government.
Yes, I did not want that phone back. They was like, you can come pick it up. I was like, nah. I'm good. I'm start over. I don't know what kind of taps y'all got on this phone. So yeah, but the name stuck.
And was it like a flip phone? Like that's how long ago it was?
It was a Nextel phone.
Oh.
The chirpers.
Mm.
Yeah, I missed that phone.
That's fascinating. Sometimes you have friends and you don't know what they're good at until you invite them to come be on your podcast.
Yeah, hey, you know, I might know a guy still.
You might know a guy.
Yeah.
You're like the resources guy, the resource man.
Yeah. That's where the name came from.
Did you find the bulletproof vest?
I did.
Did someone steal it from a police officer?
I don't know what. Hey.
Hey. Oh.
Hey. It ain't up to me where this information comes from. I just pass the number on and y'all work out y'all deal and I walk away.
Okay. So. When would it be fun to have a bulletproof vest on?
Probably
top
never.
Top 10. Hunting?
They are hot. Well, if you...
It's probably heavy. Kevlar's lighter now.
I don't... You know, if you hunting and you worry about the deer shooting back at you, then you might be in the wrong hunting spot.
I think you're worried about a drunk uncle, like an Earl shooting at you on
that would
accident.
Be bad. But they're hot. I put one on once and... Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant hot like it's been stolen, but you meant hot like the heat.
Hot like the heat. Yeah, not
it's hot
not
and heavy.
I don't see how 50 Cent performed in one.
Oh, did he?
He used to walk around. Yeah, when he first
started. Oh, because
when
people were trying to murder him?
Yeah, he had a reason. He had a reason. Yeah.
50 Cent.
I'll sweat a little bit to save my life.
How many times did 50 Cent get shot?
I think it was like...
It's like 8.
He got
shot? Oh, a lot of times.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
He's been shot multiple times, which is wild.
Do you think if he just sent like an apology letter in cursive, it would have made everything okay?
No. I think you have a different life than the...
It don't work like that in the streets.
That's how we do it.
Yeah, it don't work like that in the streets.
It has to be handwritten and it has to be a thick paper.
Nah, the streets so and corporate is two different things. It don't work like that in the streets. They want you. They coming to get you.
He probably got shot more if he did that.
Right. Whoever made him, he took the time to read the letter. Hit him again next time. Shoot his hands.
No, trying to show off his calligraphy to me.
Yeah. People can't read in cursive anymore anyway.
People don't even write in cursive anymore. My kid did not learn how to write in cursive.
Can you write in cursive?
A little, it's terrible. My handwriting is terrible anyway.
I was approaching a cursive capital Z the other day, and I pooped my pants. I haven't done it in so long. A capital Z. And then I did it, and I'm like, I still don't know if that looks right. This looks crazy.
My handwriting is bad. Crazy fact about me is my handwriting is so bad, I can type faster than like most court reporters. Like I can type like seven. Yeah, I can look away and be doing something.
You got
else
the home
typing.
Keys?
Cause yeah, I know all I of that
them.
Stuff.
I love the home keys.
They used to make me type when I was in middle school. Because my writing was so bad. They'd be like,
Start typing.
No,
you know
sir,
what?
Do not.
That's this
write
entire.
Nothing.
You were ahead of your time. That's this entire generation. I have sons. Their ages like 16 and 18, and their handwriting looks like a serial killer.
Yeah,
like, it's like happy birthday, mom, or I'm gonna murder you in front of your family. Like that's what it feels. The energy comes through their handwriting.
My handwriting is bad enough that I could probably forge a doctor's signature.
Like, ayo, that's a classic joke. For young people, there used to be a saying that doctors have terrible handwriting.
Yeah,
I miss those days. Okay, so you were the go-to guy.
Yeah.
And you taught comedy for a spell. Are you still teaching?
Yeah, I'm
at Laughing Skull Lounge here.
Starting
in Atlanta.
Starting to wrap it up.
You've
probably
had enough. You've had enough.
Well, it's time to get to another level in my career, and it's hard to travel when I got the class going because I'm on 6 weeks and try to take a 2 week break sometimes, but sometimes we just spill right into another class, and so I just want to get out more and kind of see more of the country.
I want to talk to you about what it's like teaching people comedy, because I think that's fascinating. But I also, first of all, want to ask, when you go, you do cruises for stand-up.
Well, I haven't started yet. I got my first one coming up in March.
Because Damon came on, Damon Sumner. And he
now,
talked,
he's the guy.
He's the cruise guy.
Yeah.
Because he can do clean for a very long time.
Yeah.
And it's murders.
Yeah, I'm working on some of my clean stuff right now.
It's so hard. I laid in bed for 48 hours this weekend. I was in North Carolina doing, I was featuring at a comedy club, and during the day just laid in bed sweating, being like, can I be a clean comedian?
You had Dead Crow, right?
Yes.
I haven't been up there in years.
But the long story short, after like trying to like connect with my spirit guides and meditate, I cannot be a clean comedian. Sorry, world.
People think when you talk clean comedy, they think it's just removing the curse words, but it's really subject matter.
It's subject matter.
Yeah.
If you're having an 8-year-old in the audience, you can't like...
Yeah.
Innuendo is still talking about mommy daddy times that
absolutely.
They shouldn't be like, they don't want to laugh at.
Absolutely.
I think if you're having 8-year-olds in the audience, though, get a clown.
Yeah. Like, come on. Because
come on.
I don't,
get
I
a magician.
Myself, I don't have a lot of jokes that's going to resonate with kids.
Pull my finger. That's a classic. You can have it.
Nice. Nah, that joke has been done too much.
My dad still does it all the time.
What? That's hilarious. And you got to appease him. You're like, all right, maybe it's something different this time.
And then he'll rip one, and then he'll be like, oh, there's a loose floorboard right here. Oh.
That's funny.
Do you have any fart jokes that you enjoy?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. I try to talk to the class about staying away from like body fluid jokes, fart jokes, because most comedy clubs are just restaurants that do comedy. Right?
Yeah.
They're serving food. Like, do you really want to hear about somebody's bowel movement while you're trying to eat your meatloaf? You don't.
Right.
Don't hear about that.
Right.
So.
I agree. There is a thing about trying to get the attention in the room. That's, I feel like, as I'm aging, as I'm evolving as a comedian, at the beginning, when you're in these rooms that are very busy, there might be a TV on, it's a bar, I would have to, like, try to get the people's attention, maybe do something, say something outrageous that they wouldn't expect a white lady from Buckhead to say, and that would help get the attention, but that is not the comedy I want to do. That's not who I am as a person. Well, maybe a little bit. Joel's on his phone.
It depends. Most of the time, a good host will be able to let the room settle before they really start the show. So now we can't pick the scenarios in which we do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes I've had hosts that just start the show. Hey, welcome to such and such. You ready for your first act? And there's people still at the bar getting drinks. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, it's not ready. It's not ready.
Also,
not
a lot
ready.
Of restaurants where they do stand up. No, it's sometimes I was just want to ask the owner, like, I appreciate the stage time. Why are you booking? Why is this a show? Because a lot of times you're just like, a lot of people don't want this.
And
you're probably losing customers
by having it. Yeah,
by having it.
Ambush comedy. Don't you like doing comedy when people don't know comedy's going on?
They got the kids there with the chicken fingers, and then someone starts dragging out a mic and an amp, and you're like, uh-oh. They are not here for this. It was so fun to be a Dead Crow this weekend and in a beautiful room where it's dark. And it's quiet, and the people came to do comedy, or to see comedy, and they're there to laugh. It was magical.
I've been to Wilmington once, and it is far. I was driving like, where in the
it's
going?
Like 7-8 hours.
Yeah, it's on the coast of North Carolina.
How's your sciatica? How far can you drive before you start limping around the parking lot?
No, I'm pretty good.
You good?
I get
tight?
I turn into a toddler after so many hours in the car. I'll get, are we there yet? I started getting like, where are we going, Mom? Like, how much longer? I turned into that guy.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, it's, were you there alone or were you with?
I was there alone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's only so many comics I can travel with.
Ooh.
Because people will ask me, they'd be like, hey, Plo, man, you know, if you ever need somebody to go on the road, I'd be like, I'm not sitting in the car with you, dude. You know, 3 hours, 5 hours. You got to sleep in the same room sometimes because at this level, you know, you're not getting rooms at the Ritz-Carlton. Like, you'd be lucky if they get you a double bed in Myrtle Beach. You know what I mean? So it really is important to, like, make sure you vet the people you go on the road with because,
yeah,
they can make the trips. Not only are you irritated, now you got to be funny. No fun.
You got to fake it. Right? Fake it till you make it. I don't know. Sometimes I'm in a terrible mood and I start doing my set and I start feeling better because people are laughing and it changes my energy.
You know, I tell comics, especially like my class, I tell them the hardest part of comedy is balancing life around it.
Mm.
If you can balance life around stand-up, you got a shot because life is hard enough. So how do you be funny when your girlfriend cheats? How do you be funny when your parent dies or how, you know, your dog dies or however, you know, whatever life throws at you,
mm-hmm.
how do you still go and get out of that energy and be funny? If you can master that, you got a shot.
Wait, so when you're teaching, tell us about it. Like, what's your favorite part about teaching people? Because there's people who come to learn comedy so they can be better at public speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it'd be just a great course for anyone who's boring at a dinner party to go take a stand-up class, get a type 5.
I like.
This can't go to the same dinner party twice. They're like, oh, no, I already used
hilarious.
I already worked that room. Yeah.
I got to go to 102 next, so I can get another 5.
Don't tell that fork joke one more time.
Yeah.
I think for me, I like when the light clicks on for people. Because it's like the whole baby deer thing. You know, the baby deer's first born. It's like wobbling, trying to figure out it can walk. And then like by week 4 or 5, you're like, look at the deer running away from the hunters. Like, look, she's getting her own water.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably my favorite part. When people realize, like, oh, not only is comedy hard, in every class somebody goes, man, this is harder than I thought. And I go,
yes.
Like, if this was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my favorite part.
That's great.
Yeah. It's a challenge. It makes me kind of practice what I preach too.
Okay. What do you preach? Preach.
I mean, I talk more about like, and you know, getting on stage is one thing. That's part of it. But really what you do off stage is what determines how better you become as a writer, as a
What do you suggest comic. People do off stage?
Listen to your set.
Oh, yeah.
And I hate the sound of my voice. We all do.
Yeah. You got to
get over it.
Disassociate and pretend it's somebody else.
You know what? I tell people, and I do this sometimes for myself. I play my comedy a lot when I'm busy in the house,
mm-hmm.
cleaning up,
mm-hmm.
washing the dishes sometimes. And I can kind of imagine I'm listening to XM radio.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And so that helps. But
pretend it's somebody else.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
helps a lot. And then you can kind of take away your ego out of it so you don't feel so lame or embarrassed.
Also, eventually you get really used to the sound of your voice if you listen to it enough.
It takes a while. I put a microphone in my living room so I could practice getting used to the sound of my voice in a microphone, because it made my skin crawl. But then my children discovered it and they were all over it. They like the sound of their voices, it turns out.
I compare it kind of to like flossing. You know, when you first start flossing your teeth, it hurts. You get blood. You're like, but 2 weeks later, you didn't even realize you've done your entire mouth, and you're like, "Oh, I'm done already." So it's the more you do it,
easier it gets.
Yeah. I'll never forget when I first started. There was a comic out in L.A. I started in L.A.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. Wait. I thought because I asked you, and you said you were only doing from Atlanta.
Well, I'm from here.
Okay,
but life took me to California.
Were you still the hookup guy in California? Where did the feds find you?
No,
here?
No, that was here. Okay. That was before California. That and that's not why I went to California. I was
witness protection program.
No, I did a stint like in the music business. I was an inspiring like manager. I was working with like artists and songwriters, and I just kind of loaded up the truck and moved to Beverly once. I took all my artists like EPKs and like some of their best songs, and I went out to like
the dream.
Yeah,
that's gotta be so hard. That looks harder than stand up.
It's, you know what's hard about it, when you're not the actual talent, you're relying on other people.
Oh, were you a producer guy?
I was a manager.
A manager?
Yeah.
So is that like getting bookings for people?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay.
Trying to get
this
people's
is like
record deals
coming
and
together.
That kind of.
So the guy who's good at connecting people was getting a job.
I was terrible at that though.
Connecting people.
I think my straightforward, I come from a family of like straight shooters. Like my dad is a lot more tactful, but he'll tell you like it is. My mom, she had no tact at all. She was just, I'm talking about, she let you know where you stand with her at all times.
Yeah, and I had a friend like that.
You do?
My friend's mom, I got my hair dyed red, and I was like, hi. And she's like, you look like a prostitute.
Hilarious. Yeah, you need people like that in your life. If more people were straight shooters, the world would be a better place. But they used to rub people wrong.
I'm sure.
Yeah, people would be playing songs for me of like their artist that's supposed to be coming out on Capitol Records, and I'm trying to get in the door, and they'd be like, "What do you think?" I'm like, "That's the worst shit I've ever heard in my life," and they'd be like, "What?" You just see people's faces.
They're like, "Well, their father is very rich," and then you're just like, "Never mind."
Yeah, it was great.
Play that back. Yeah, you know what?
I was listening to the beat. I wasn't even listening to the lyrics. But yeah. So I'm in L.A. and just.
What decade is this?
This was 2010.
Okay.
And then I got discouraged because things were not working out.
And it's such a cheap place to live.
So cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want a one bedroom for $1,300, yeah, moved it. That was back then.
I was going to say, that's a steal now.
Right. No, I was, my first apartment was supposed to be a studio, but I used to call it a pre-production lab. That's how small it was. I was like, you can only make beats in here. You can't record. And that was $950. And it was smaller than Amy's wardrobe room.
Yes, costume closet.
I used to, I had a little small little skillet, not a stove. And I would have to decide what I wanted to cook based on what I wanted my clothes to smell like.
Yeah, that
sounds
about
right.
Because
it was that small.
No garlic.
You fry some fish, you're going to smell like fried fish for 2 days.
Oh, golly.
Yeah, anything. Yeah. But, I wouldn't trade that time for the world. I discovered a lot of who I was. And,
that's good.
It led me to stand up.
Did you have like a lot of meaningful walks?
No, not around that neighborhood. That was a little dangerous. You don't want to do that. Was gang territory.
Yeah, you can't be inside your own head there. You gotta keep on a swivel.
I thought LA was near the ocean.
No, that's Malibu and Venice. And Venice is the ghettoest place ever, but that's a different story.
Venice is dirty.
Very, very dirty.
I hear all of LA's a nightmare right now.
Oh yeah, it was. People ask me, would I move back? I doubt it. Like, I would have to be really doing something where I needed to
be there.
And it would have to be some serious money involved. Because it's so expensive to live out there, man. You gotta, and you know, to be effective in anything is being comfortable. If you're not comfortable, it's hard to be funny when you gotta come up with $1,700 in 3 days. Like, that's...
Yeah.
Damn these jokes. I gotta go to work. So, I don't think, as of now, I don't think I would go back.
Nah. Yeah, we have some Atlanta comedians who have moved out there. Katie Hughes moved out there.
Yeah.
Catherine Blanford.
Yeah. Shoot, Catherine's blown up, so she's in a different bracket now, you know, so she needs to be there. Her and Katie, she'll make it work. She'll make it work. I also had a kid, too, that I was trying to be.
Oh, in Atlanta?
Yeah, well, my daughter's grown now, but.
So was she with you in L.A.?
Heck no. I was barely eating myself. I was.
The clothes are going to smell like baby formula.
If I never eat a McDouble or another Subway sandwich in my life, it'll be too soon. Yeah. Like, I lived off McDoubles at one point. Man. Yeah. Now, I was.
That's a lot of salt.
Oh, my God.
How's your cholesterol? Do you get tested?
Oh, this was. I hadn't. I don't. You can't buy me McDonald's now.
Yeah. So have you had your cholesterol tested, though? Okay. You got to do that.
I should.
Oh, yeah.
It's this over 40 stuff. Yeah.
You got to know your stats. You have to know your blood pressure, your cholesterol level, and your dick size. That's the three things you're supposed to know.
I was about to say, I know my body fat.
I think one of those you can figure out on your own without the doctor.
Yeah, if you got to go to the doctor for that, you're either doing very good or very bad.
Doc, I'm trying to get the checkup again. How are we doing down
there? How am I swinging, Doc? How's it going?
Yeah, there's a wiener collaborator. Calibrator.
He's like, I'm so upset how good of the insurance you have that I have to do this.
And when you know, and guys, if you leave it up to us, we're gonna start
a little in on the top.
We start measuring from our ass cheeks. Yeah, all of this is connected. This all goes together. This is all connected.
Yeah, it's all the same atoms and ions, and
it's all connected. Yeah.
The chakras actually start in behind my ears, and then they go all the way down.
Right.
Okay, so you're in LA. You come back here. You have a daughter then?
No, she was four when I left.
Oh, okay.
And I was there for 3 years.
That's rough. That's a rough time to miss her.
Yeah, and so I came back when she was seven. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then
y'all tight?
We got a weird relationship. Mm. I come from one of those families where my mother, God bless her soul, she wasn't the most like affectionate person. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really have a great relationship with her dad, you know. And mm-hmm. so it's like one of those situations where my daughter was never really taught to value my presence, if mm-hmm. that makes sense. And mm-hmm. so her and my mom were like spent all the time together because I'm out trying to pursue a comedy career.
Yeah.
So she'll, it's probably one of those situations where I'll be dead and gone and she'll realize, like, my dad wasn't a bad person. But, you know, it is what it is.
Does she have a grudge that you left?
No. Like, my mother and I, we had one of those toxic relationships, you know. It was good at times, and I'm happy that it was good when she passed. Like, it was better than it was when I was, you know, a lot younger. Mm-hmm. But she used to see me and her grandmother kind of go at it sometimes. And you know, when you're a kid, you don't know cause and effect.
Yeah.
You just know, my dad is yelling at my grandmother, but you don't know your grandmother wrecked my car. You know what I mean? So that's kind of.
A parent can trigger in a child.
Oh, man.
All the feelings from teenage years or whatever you're bringing to the table emotionally. And if she's watching that, it probably looks bigger for her than it was actually in real life.
So you know, she's in college, and
that's good.
I just hope
she's happy
that
at school.
She likes it.
Sometimes when people have their own children, then they soften about the job their parents have done.
She says she don't want none. She don't need none.
Well, that's
she don't.
They're
nah,
expensive.
Nah, you know what's funny is like when I had my birds and the bees talk to my daughter, I was like, hey, you know, you can have kids and all of those things that you love to do, that's out the window. And I think that kind of stuck with her. Like, she likes to sleep late and eat mm-hmm. out at expensive places and buy a bunch of fancy clothes. I'm like, that's over with.
You can't be
no more disposable income.
You get pregnant, no more.
That's why I don't want kids.
What's she studying?
Psychology.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That's the last some skills.
I heard. It might be something else by now, but you know how these kids change. But yeah, psychology.
Who's I'm trying to think about the people who've gone through your program. Have they, like, I do Are they still doing your sorry, I have ADD according to my producer.
She for sure does.
And I was popping back to the classes.
Yeah, we're all comics here. Yeah. Probably ADHD, there's ADHD and autism rampant in every scene.
Yeah, we all do.
And autism in the scene.
Oh, yeah. For sure. That is, there's a reason why. That's what I always talk to people about for stand-up. It's a very specific type of person that wants to do stand-up because you're interacting with an entire crowd of people, but you also can tell those people, you don't get to talk back to me. Like, I have the microphone. This is not a two-way conversation.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of those comics, you go talk to them after their set, and you're just like, oh, I really liked your set. They're like, mm-hmm. It's like, have you talked to a person before? They're like,
people have a real misconception about what goes on behind the scenes of comedy. I've met people, and they'd be like, oh my God, a comedy club must be the best place to hang out. I'm like, no, I'd rather hang out at a wake. I would rather hang out around a grieving family.
More positivity at a wake, honestly.
Right. You know, at least people are uplifting. They're hugging. They're talking.
There's emotions.
Only time when a comedy green room is fun is if it's you and your buddies on the show. You know, if we're on the best of and it's all comics you get along with, then it's kind of fun.
But, or if there's a warm person there.
Yeah. But most of the times, like, when I do festivals and stuff, man, some of those backstages be, like, dreadful. You like, because everyone's just
nervous
in their own heads. Yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were saying, who for my class? I got about 15 people still out.
In the scene?
Still working out.
That's fantastic.
I like to see them out, you know. It's like a...
Your legacy.
It's like a proud dad. You're like, hey, I see you still sticking with the skateboard. Okay.
Is someone bringing a skateboard on stage?
Nah. Okay. It's just the first thing I thought about randomly. I don't know why. I'm not even a skateboarder myself. I don't know why.
I mean, would you let any of your students be a prop comic or would you shoot them right there? No Kevlar vest.
Yeah, I probably would shoot them. Yeah. I try to, you know, give them a realistic outlook of what comedy is, and prop comedy, no disrespect to anybody that does it, but it's whatever.
I mean, it's hard to travel with that.
Yeah, that too. But you know, first it's fun to see people when they first come to the class because they have like an idea and everything they think is, oh, this is the greatest material ever. And my favorite is 60-year-old men who just want to do dick jokes. And I'm like, dude, you've been alive 60 years. You don't have nothing else to talk about. Like, you don't have nothing else to say. I would let that slide from an 18-year-old. You know, that's all we got when you're 18. But when you're 60,
lived
you got
a life.
Yeah, like, come on, man. It's like, no. And nobody wants to hear it.
It's also saying because a 6-year-old man been telling those same dick jokes for 60 years.
Right.
Yeah, in the locker room.
That's the scary part.
Right after they say, pull my finger.
Right.
Yeah.
Your dad did take the class. No, I'm just joking.
It's I've seen something that I think is fun is when someone gets up and they're trying comedy for the first time and they're halfway through this thing they've memorized, no laughs because it's not funny, and they thought it was all gonna be funny.
Oh yeah.
And I love it when they're like, y'all, I thought this was gonna go better than this. Like, they just acknowledge that they're failing and then everyone in the audience laughs.
Because the audience, I don't think audiences want to see you fail.
Right, no.
They come, they paying ticket fees, they buying drinks, they are coming to have a good time. And so a lot of times if you just acknowledge that it's going pretty bad, they like, finally. It's just, you know, you got to address the elephant in the room. You know?
Yeah.
And they appreciate it.
And then it's authentic.
Because they...
And you're there. Everyone's in the same room.
They start looking around. When the audience starts looking at each other...
Yes! Oh, you're in trouble.
It is going bad.
Yeah, is anyone else enjoying this?
Yeah, yes. Like, what's happening right now?
it's so awkward to be in an audience when someone's doing bad.
Oh yeah.
Because then you're just like, I'd like this to stop. Like, I'm not happy this is going poor. I want to go faster, please. I just had to deal with that so much as like a showrunner for years.
Oh, I bet.
Just watching people do bad sets, and it's just like, oh my God, please realize you're doing bad and cut your set in half. Like, just go ahead, pull the cord. Like, pull the shoe.
Yeah. Let me ask you this: as a showrunner, have you been in a situation where the audience is looking at you, Like, are you going to do something about this?
There was one time on a really, really early show, like early as in like as in the counter cruise up in Chattanooga. He used to host the local comedy club a lot. He was just an old redneck dude. And like he is not doing good at his set. He's just a bunch of like shitty street jokes. And then he tells a really racist joke. And like as soon as he gets the punchline out, like everyone's like looking at it. It's like me and the bartender walk up, grab the mic. We're like, hey, and then let's leave. He's like, oh, I saw Tom. I was like, no, you do not. Let's go. That's the only time I've had to intervene. And it was.
Yeah.
It was just a super racist joke, and he dropped the hard end, and then he was a white man too. It was just like, whoa, okay, and the bartender just like walked him out of the building. And
good we were for
like,
that bartender.
You're done.
Yeah. Good for that bartender.
And then there was another time. I think I'm talking about this show where it was at an open mic I ran, and it was a guy that came a lot to watch, and finally was like, I want to do it. Got up there, explained a YouTube video, like literally just explained. A YouTube video that he thought was funny, and then said, wow, this is a lot harder than y'all make it look, and then stared for like a minute and a half straight.
Oh.
And I was just trying to like wait for him to come off stage, being like, come on. And he just was so comatose that I did have to go up and just be like, you can let
go. He was in paralysis.
I was like, you can let go of the microphone. And I was like, thank you for trying. It is, you know, if you want to try to come back later, feel free, but you know.
Bomb shock.
I've never seen, like, he was like pale white and just sweating. Oh. Where it was just like, oh, this man is.
Did he pee his pants?
What is that from what's the Jordan Peele movie, Get Out, like the sunken place? That man went into his own sunken place during that like minute and a half of silence where he just was like,
ooh.
He didn't pee himself, but yeah. I feel he did. He never did stand up again. He did come out to support. It took him a while to come back out and support.
He couldn't show face.
Listen.
Well, he probably would start having a panic attack.
It was so embarrassing. I feel bad for him because it's tough.
It's a totally natural human response, though, when you are feeling terror to shut down. And that's why the bear can eat you. You know, you got to stop squirming. We're part of the food chain.
Yeah, more like, what is it? Like, it's like one of the top three common fears is like public speaking.
Public speaking. Have you ever been on stage and just blank?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Like,
that's why when I first started, I used to always think that I need to smoke a joint before I perform.
Mm.
And I did a show in Hollywood one night. Well, I was in North Hollywood, and I just
High on your own supply.
Yeah, of course.
I hear that's not what you're supposed to do.
But that's crack, more so.
My bad.
That applies to hard drugs, but
the real hard drugs.
Wait, I'll write down in my notes, Amy, crack.
Yeah, don't get high. Yeah, but Yeah, definitely. Deer in the headlights. You know, I don't drink before because you will black out. You will blank sometimes. I have more fun sober performing because
you're quicker.
Yeah, my wit kicks in. Most of the time, if I'm ever like tagging a joke or I come up with something like in the moment,
you're
I'm completely sober.
And caffeinated and well rested.
Yeah.
All of the things. And not in perimenopause and having brain fog.
I was going to tell you about this bomb I had once. You were talking about the showrunner. We were talking about it. Has the showrunner gotten you off? The showrunner put me up. I was in South Central LA at like a legendary club.
Oh, wow. Do you still have all those connections out there?
Most of the people who I started with are either now famous or have moved back, but they run shows in like their hometowns and places like that. I'm actually going on a run in February up to Ohio. The guy that I used to hit the circuit with in L.A.
Oh, nice.
He's got a
Where
nice
in Ohio?
Run. It's Covington.
Covington.
Yeah.
Covington, sounds very Ohio. Rich and fancy.
We're going to see. I'm going to have my gun regardless. But you know.
Do you travel with your gun?
Absolutely.
In your car, I'm guessing? You're not going in the aeroplane with a gun.
I will fly with that. You can fly with it.
You fly with a gun?
Yeah, you can fly with it.
Wait.
I have a permit to carry this thing.
Do you have to show, you have to go extra time to get through security?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then you take the bullets out.
You got to take the bullets out.
Do you put them in a Ziploc baggie?
Uh-uh, you have to have a
special. And put them in the tray?
You got to be a special case.
Ziploc baggie?
That's funny. You got to have a special case.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got to be locked.
What kind of a gun is it?
I normally travel.
Okay, hold on. It's always the quiet, sweet men that are packing heat. Hey, Jesus.
I don't go nowhere without my...
That's why you can be quiet.
To be fair, when I pulled up at this nice house, I was like, I can leave it in the car. I think it's going to be fine in this neighborhood. But yeah, if you see Plug 9 times out of 10, he has a firearm on him. Yeah.
That's called packing heat.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, I'd rather get caught with it than without it.
Are you going to take it to Mexico?
No.
Yeah, international travel with your gun.
Wait, that's not allowed.
Do you put it in like one of those little carriers for like, it's an emotional support gun and
hilarious.
I have to bring it, it fits underneath the seat in front of me.
It is an emotional support gun. In a sense. Yeah, matter of that,
just like an emotional support dog, please do not touch it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do not pet my emotional support gun.
You will not like this bark. That's all that's coming off of this support animal.
It bites.
But now I got a couple. I just carry them.
Do you match it to your outfit?
No, okay. No, I'm not that guy.
I don't know anything about guns.
I know some people do, but
do you go to
how
the?
How many guns do you think he has?
He said a couple, three. I've got three purses. I got the black purse, I got the brown purse, and I got the sparkle purse. You got a sparkle gun?
Yeah, no.
I know what to get you for Christmas.
You don't want anything that sparkles because I stay away from chrome because once the light hits it, it alerts everybody that you have a firearm. So I like I do the standard
but is
black.
Wait, isn't that what you want them to know, though?
No.
That you're not,
element
don't
of surprise.
Mess with them? Oh.
Element of, if
are
it
you
gets,
a sniper? What's happening?
No, but if it gets to the point where I'm going to need to take this gun out, then it's not going to work out. So okay. I would rather you not know what's about to happen.
Have you ever had to pull your gun on anybody?
No, I had to show someone I had one.
What were they about to do?
Well, he had broken into my car.
And you were approaching the car?
No, so
you were in the car sleeping?
No, so I'm in my office, and my driveway is not as long as luxurious as this one. So it's just right there. You know, we right on top of each other. And I saw this kid riding. He was walking into my yard. Now, the belt line is behind my house.
Yes.
But it's no access to the belt line mm-hmm. behind my house. So somebody walking back there, I'm like, that was the red flag. So I opened my window. I was like, hey, the fuck you doing? And he was like, I got to get my bicycle. So he hops on his bike and he like rides off. And I'm like, something ain't right. So I run downstairs. I open my car door. This asshole done stripped my whole steering column. Like he was about, was going to get the tool he needed to come back and steal my car.
Wow.
So I grabbed my gun and I went and found him. He was a few
hours. You went and you found him?
Yeah. He was coming.
What if he had a gun too?
That's a chance I wouldn't take. That's why
shootout.
I had mine.
We've had two shootouts in our grocery store parking lot here.
Really? Motor Kroger?
And it's just a regular Harris Teeter. Wait, is
who is shoot at no, Harris Teeter?
Sorry, Publix. It's a Publix. Sorry.
What is a Harris Teeter?
Sorry, that's North Carolina.
Yeah, it is a grocery store.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a grocery store. It was a Publix, and this guy came up, and these people were stealing his car, and so they started shooting, and he started shooting, and it was a shootout. And then this other girl, my friend, saw teenage boys breaking into a car, and she does commercial real estate, so she's used to like being in dark alleys at night and stuff in parking garages. And she starts she starts clapping her hands. Boys, you stop that. And they pull their guns out and she's like, never mind.
Proceed, young man.
Welcome to Atlanta.
So I find him and I grabbed him up and like start like kind of roughing him up. So the people start coming outside.
Was he a teenager?
Yeah, he was a teenager. Yeah. So the people start coming outside, and I'm yelling at them to call the police. And they're like, get off of him! And
they thought you were the bad guy.
I'm like, call the fucking cops. I'm like, he tried to, this is a car thief. So he gets up. I got to let him up, because people are recording. It got weird. And so he's like, I'm gonna stab you. So he like pulls out this long screwdriver.
And
I took my gun out my pocket, and I'm like, hey.
It's a good thing you can run with your gun in your pocket.
I was like, hey. This is how you really want this story to end.
How big is your wiener that you can run with a gun in your pocket and you're not completely off balance?
Well, I had I had a 40 cal, which is a subcompact, and that big,
okay.
Very loud, but it's that big. And,
all right. So you go I interrupted.
The police, I had knowing like the self defense laws, like I had every right to shoot him, but believe it or not, when those kind of things happen, it kind of goes in slow motion. So I had the time to really register. I'm like, this is a kid, and I'm not about to let him
overpower me. He's making a bad choice. Yeah.
He's not about to overpower me with this damn screwdriver. So I literally like punched him in the face and he just took off running. Oh. But I saved him. And the cops was like, you should have shot that motherfucker. the cops was like, turns out the kid, he came back the next day.
Oh my God.
And that's when we locked him up. Yeah. Oh. The next day, I was like, dude, how stupid are you?
He's really a teenager. Yeah. His front lobe is not developed and he's going to be stupid and he's doing stupid things and it's going to be until he's 25.
I just got a letter last week that said, because you know, if you press charges on somebody, they send you a letter when that person gets released. So I got a letter and was like, hey, just to let you know, that kid's out of jail. And I was like, if he comes back over here again.
How long has he been in jail?
He was in there probably about 3 months.
Okay.
Yeah, he was. He said,
"Oh, he's not grown up all the way yet."
Long enough for Big Bubba to get a hold of him. Nah.
That's a third time would be.
I won't put it past him. I won't put it past him.
You know, and it's showing stick-to-itiveness. Like he's not hasn't given up on his goals and his dreams, which is a good quality you want in a person. He's just got the wrong goals.
I mean, I drive a Kia, dude. This is not a Hellcat. This is not nothing you about to go get some money from.
Wait, how are you turning that into, this is my question, not that you would know, but how do you turn a shitty car into money?
You can't.
Yeah.
They steal them for joyriding. Yeah, it's just an inconvenience.
When my car got stolen last year, I had a Kia, and then because you can pop open the steering column, take out the ignition, and so, like, the end of a USB thing, literally this.
Yep. That will start a Kia.
It fits in there. And
oh, my
you can
God.
Do it. Yeah, there's a
You have a toy for a car.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to. There's a class action lawsuit against Kia right now because they were supposed to put preventative measures in the car to where you couldn't start it with that. There's supposed to be a chip in your key that activates it. That any car that was less than $26,000, they did not put it in there to save money, and they lied to consumers.
Yeah.
But like the class action lawsuit, they're like, you can get up to like $1,000. And it was like, my car was actually stolen, and I had to junk it because they joy wrote and fucked it up so much. So it was just like, great, thank you for that. I don't even know how to get the $1,000 yet either.
And now at this point, there's so many kids been stolen. You're going to get your lawsuit money. It's going to be like 40 cents.
4 cents. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's so many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's been stolen twice, actually.
Your car's been stolen twice.
They stole that bitch from the school one night. Yeah. It was freezing. This was last year. I come out of hosting and I'm like,
You're like, I mean, you're having an episode.
I know I'll park my car right
here.
Are you
having a stroke?
It's a weird ass time to have your car stolen because you do feel like you're gaslighting yourself. You're like, it was definitely here. And then people are like, you sure you didn't park down the street? You're like,
no.
I mean, I guess I can walk the block, but I think I've never, you know, outside of like mall parking lots that are massive multi-story thing, I definitely know.
Yeah, I know where I left my car.
Where I parked my car.
I never know where I parked my car. I'm glad mine doesn't get stolen, that I would just be like, oh, yeah, I guess I just parked it closer to something else.
I could see Amy just not knowing her car was stolen. Just like, I guess I lost my car.
Oops.
Honey.
I need another one.
I need to go get a new one.
I know I'll have a couple so they can match them to my purse.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, it sucks, but it was.
Yeah, so that's what you do with a gun, I guess, in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody's got them here in Atlanta.
I bet they do, based on the news I get to read every morning.
Everybody's got them. And I used to, before comedy and before music, I was almost a cop. And so I can kind of look at somebody and tell if they're carrying a gun.
By the swagger, the hitch like in their giddy up.
Yeah, it's kind of like
the cadence.
Most of the time when people carry a gun, it's like they walk a certain way. Yeah, it's
like they're wearing high heels.
No. Or you can kind of look.
I feel like I can tell if someone's doing a juice cleanse the way they walk.
Hilarious.
Y'all have very different skills.
Yeah, very different skills.
Yeah,
she has a particular set of skills. it's harder in the winter because in the wintertime, you know, you got big coats on. But in the summertime, I can definitely
tell who's packing.
Somebody got a gun. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just, I don't have any weapons. I can say, do you know who my father is?
stop it, young man.
Yeah,
that's funny. I'm glad they showed her the gun. That was that was noble of them.
And instead of just killing her right away. Jesus.
Back up, lady.
If I saw someone steal my car, I'd be like, please stop. As I'm like walking around, I'm like, please don't. Damn it.
Now, technically, you are not supposed to shoot somebody that Because even if I would have caught him in the car.
You can't take their life over.
Nah.
A Kia.
That would have been me needing an expensive lawyer.
Yeah.
So I probably would have opened the door and just hit him with it. Bam. Get your ass.
Maybe that is my weapon, is having friends who are lawyers.
Being rich is definitely a weapon.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to have those problems, you know.
If something happened to me or a plug, the cops would be like, well, I don't know. But if something happens to you, they're like, oh, she was an affluent white woman.
We got a dirty mouth. Look at all these podcasts. Yeah. She is a lady talking about wieners.
Ah, that's
putting
hilarious.
It on the internet. Now that's a mother.
That's hilarious. Hey, all right, welcome to America.
Okay, we're going to find out what kind of nerds you are, Plug, but I don't know if you're going to be a nerd, because maybe you're a nerd for guns. You know what? Matt Tambarino is a nerd for guns.
I was going to say, Matt probably got more guns than me.
Yeah, well, he did the military stuff, so he got like those big ones you take to the shooting range. Do you go have practice?
Yeah.
How often do you do practice time with your gun?
Not enough. I try to go...
Rehearsal? Is that what it's called?
Practice time with your gun.
That's funny. Practice time. Now, this is practice time with the firearms.
We're going to make a play date for Plug and his buddy. They're going to go do practice time with their gun.
I try to go at least... I would like to start going like at least twice a month, but sometimes it's like once every maybe 3 months or so.
Okay. So you stay sharp? As a sharp shooter?
Well, you it's more so just like you want to put some rounds through the chamber.
Does it make you feel excited to shoot a gun? How hard do you get on a scale of 1 to Rambo?
Probably -5. You know, it's more like a necessary
evil. Shake it back in its cage?
Yeah, it's just... If you carry a gun every day, you should at least know how to use it.
So you're just being safe. That's good. I feel like wieners are like lobsters and they can swim backwards.
Hilarious.
Okay. Sorry, I'm trying to get some wiener jokes going here. Here we go. We're going to find out what kind of nerd you are.
Amy's that 6-year-old man that we were talking about earlier.
I am a 13-year-old boy. Thank you very much. All right, I have some new ones. Okay, did you ever go through a Rubik's Cube phase?
Probably like 2 weeks, and then I realized I could not figure it out, and I was like, I'm gonna go play some video games.
Right before the internet, you know, now that the kids can just go on YouTube and they can figure it out, and they do it real fast. And
lucky motherfucker! I know what
I know. These young people.
It's some pattern like you turn like the bottom and like the left side. Like if you just keep turning like that, eventually it will solve itself. There's some mathematical pattern. My brother is a weird. That's his ADHD.
As a savant.
He can just be like, oh, I'll figure out any mechanical thing. And eventually he was like, yeah, this is the pattern. You can solve any Rubik's Cube.
Good to know.
Yeah. Did you do yo-yoing?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I used to.
Did you use it as a weapon?
I used to know how to walk it and everything.
You could walk the yo-yo?
Yeah, I had got pretty good at it at one point.
Oh, okay.
When I was a tween.
Would you use it to get attention from ladies?
No.
Were you...
I grew up in College Park. My girls didn't give a damn about you. They're like, where your car?
we need a car.
Damn about you yo-yo.
Were you a ladies' man? That was a really high sound you made.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Ladies, man.
Now I'm just a lonely old man. No, I'm just joking.
You have your comedy children.
Enjoy my peace.
Did you read like the Dune book? Do you have like, what's like a favorite book of yours? Didn't he not like?
I used to read
sci-fi.
Nah, I really wasn't sci-fi. I used to read those Tales from the Crypt comic books when I was a kid.
Mm.
I think. My nerd thing is I love zombie movies.
Zombie movies.
I will watch any. I'm talking about.
You see Shaun and the Dead?
Of course.
I will watch
any zombie movie. It could be so C-list, so bad to where they literally got white paint on their faces.
Like the old ones before they could do really good makeup and special effects. The zombie movies look pretty sad.
I will watch any zombie movie.
Well, there you go.
I am a nerd for those.
Have you watched zombie porn?
Nah, I don't watch porn.
Well, now I know what to get you for Christmas as well. We'll get you a sparkle gun and some zombie porn and have a day of it.
I probably ain't going to watch it because I don't... Yeah, I had to get that stuff up, but that's another, another podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
Okay. Okay, this is a real white question. Have you been rock climbing?
No.
Yeah, because you're smart and you know it's high up there and we shouldn't go up there.
I did about a year ago. I had a fascination. Don't know where this started. I had a fascination with watching people climb, like, about Everest. Like, I don't know. I was watching a whole bunch of videos about people trying to climb Everest, people dying on Everest. And I just
people
was,
getting left. And then when they sometimes people, I heard recently, like, this lady got, like, she couldn't walk. She got so frozen. And they, like, a Sherpa went up there, picked her up, carried her down. And they charged for that.
Of course.
And then she wasn't going to pay the bill.
Oh, no. Yeah. I would have taken her ass back up the mountain and set her right where I found her.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Someone saved her life, and there's a fee for that if you're going to be a dum-dum and try to go conquer nature.
Listen, when you find out what these people pay for the attempt, knowing that you can
die. It's
really
expensive, yeah. Will you, producer friend, will you find out how much it costs to ascend Everest?
Last I checked, it was like 90.
Thousand?
It's probably gonna be more than that, but yeah.
And then, how much
like,
does it cost to go to
average
space?
Average price to climb in 2022 was around 55,000 with and then medium price around like 47,000.
Do you know what I can do with $50,000 that does not include climbing rocks,
losing a
in
finger,
frozen
getting,
temperatures,
getting frostbite on your face, and losing part of your nose?
I barely want to walk outside now, and it's 13 degrees. I can imagine
getting up there, all the equipment. If I'm gonna like ruin my nose, it's gonna be from drinking too much, and it turns into a big potato. That's
absolutely
my goal. I'm not gonna freeze it off on top of a mountain.
So yeah, no, rock climbing is out. I might could do it like if the gym has got that wall,
that cute little wall. People will go to those walls, not tie in, and climb to the top, let go, and fall to the ground to go to the hospital.
That's pretty stupid.
Yes. Again, people be stupid. Especially if they're under 25, they're making poor choices.
Yeah,
okay.
That's pretty stupid.
Did you ever go through the phase where you had like a jean jacket and had a bunch of pins on it?
No, but I did grow up in the time where we used to take the jeans and we used to do the cartoons on them, like the Bart Simpson.
Oh, yeah.
I had a fly pair of, man, my mom gave them away. I got in trouble once and she gave them away.
Oh.
And I was pissed.
And that's why you guys are still fighting.
Yeah, that started it. That
cartoon
started
jeans.
It. Yeah, it used to be like the Bart Simpson. They would put like, you know, your favorite sports team logo or something. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Mm. Do you play an instrument?
No, I tried the trombone. And my dad scared me away. He was like, man, that's going to make your lips big. And
I don't know why. Oh my God, you're going to make your lips big.
I'm going to send him this part of the podcast. Like, you remember this? You scarred me. I could have been a famous trombone player.
Maybe he was thinking about Louis, the one who does the trumpet. Who's famous? His lips were always so big.
Armstrong.
And he had to put balms on them because they were like, he had to like, pierce, like, have you tried to do, like, when you're doing it, my lips got tired trying to do
a
trumpet.
Hold your mouth a certain way.
You gotta hold your mouth. And
I always thought that saxophone players were the coolest people on earth. I still think saxophone players, like, if I'm in like a live music place and I see a saxophone player, I'd be like, I gotta get that dude's autograph. It's just, I don't know
really?
What it is. Man, I don't
do
know
you like
what
a man with a ponytail too?
Well, I don't like men, but I'm just. But no, it's just something about a saxophone player. It's just like, it just seems like you got to have like some swag to play that instrument.
Yeah, it was really cool, I think, in like the 80s and stuff. They play so much jazz saxophone music at the Atlanta airport right now.
Yeah.
Every time I go in there, I'm just like, what's happening?
I almost missed a flight watching them one time. I was like, let me go get on my plane. I can hear this Kenny G later.
Do you ever go through a chess phase?
I would like to learn. Now, checkers, I will whoop your ass. I'm talking about, boy, I grew up playing checkers in the post office with them old men who ain't have nothing to do. So, I can king me.
King me.
But now, chess, I've not learned it. It's on my list.
Do you do crossword puzzles? But you have terrible handwriting, so maybe not.
I used to.
Were you into them?
For a while.
Like, did you get like the whole book and stick it on the back of the toilet and all that?
Nah, I used to keep them on because I used to have a long bus ride to school.
Oh.
And like, so before like Game Boy and all of those things became accessible, yeah, we used to either like roast people, and that's kind of how I got good at roasting, because we would spend an hour on the bus just, yo mama.
Oh, that's great. That's groundwork for being a comedian.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
A lot of people that I went to school with, when they found out I did comedy, they was like, yeah, I could see that.
I'm glad you were good at roasting on the bus.
Yeah, people used to come get me to like go roast people. They'd be like, we roasted in the cafeteria. Come down here. And I'd be like, okay, yeah.
This explains your gun to me so much more right now. Because if you're out there being a mouthy guy.
I was a comedy hitman back in the day.
You're out there like that. You were the weapon. And then you're a target now. If you're making people. Did you ever make anyone cry?
Absolutely.
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 Oh, you might be a bully.
To this day, I'm very good because I'm real observant. So I'm very good at like finding what somebody's like
vulnerable
about. Yeah, and I will. I will.
You'll go for it.
I know that about myself, so I don't do it.
You've learned to control your powers.
If push comes to shove.
You're like Elsa from Frozen. You have to keep your gloves on.
Yeah, I know what to say to hit somebody in the gut to make them go, well, damn, you got me.
So, yeah, how old were you when you got your gun? I have a lot of questions about the gun.
I was an adult.
Okay.
My dad.
Did you ever carry a weapon to school, like a knife or anything?
Nah.
Just your sharp tongue.
Yeah, this is all I needed. Yeah. I could shoot you down with these words. That was all I needed. Now, I didn't start carrying a gun until a couple of years back because I had some drug charges. But that's another podcast. But yeah.
Crack is the one you don't do for your supply.
Don't do crack.
And I'm learning a lot on this podcast.
Anything like a speed base or highly addictive you don't want. That's where the don't dip into your own supply kind of rule comes from.
Oh.
Yeah, because you'll end up like. Pretty much using your whole supply, now you don't have any money.
Do you have a favorite drug back in the day?
I've done weed was mostly what I used to do. I did shrooms.
Uh-huh. How'd that go?
Listen. It's not the shrooms. It's how you get them shits. We went to pick them. And you have to
pick. In the forest? No, is it like truffles?
It was like a cow. You got to go to find a cow field. And they grow in cow manure.
Come out of cow shit.
Yeah, and so you literally got to scoop
shit. But it's like stoner cow poops, like, right? Do they have to have it in their system? Or no, it's like a mold and it is in the air and it goes onto the poop?
We got shot at in Valdosta, Georgia.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to college at Valdosta State. And I graduated.
They're like tired of all the kids coming in their yard and stealing all their shrooms.
We go out one night, clearly did not see the warning signs on the fence. That said, hey,
yeah,
you jump over here, you might not jump back.
Yeah.
So we out there just moseying along, scooping cow shit, and we just hear, pew, pew,
pew.
And we like, what's that? We so stupid. We like, what's that? And my buddy was like, they shoot, motherfucker.
Oh, my God.
We just take off running.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was a night.
That is wild. And luckily, I'm glad you didn't get hit.
I think the guy was just trying to get us off the property.
Yeah.
He wasn't like. Trying to shoot nobody about no cow.
I've been riding my horse and heard a slug going through a dried up cornfield. Like they're still standing for cattle corn.
And
you hear it. Tick, 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 and you're like, we're not deer.
that was, we appreciated that high that night. I tell you that. You sure?
Because that could have worked for it.
That could have been it.
Did it make you paranoid?
You know, mushrooms are a very interesting drug. I'll say that. You start to.
Oh.
See some crazy things.
Did you see crazy things?
I felt somebody get into bed and
was it a ghost?
Caress me. I don't know what it was.
But maybe it was your buddy.
Nah, I was by myself. That was the scariest thing.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I do.
Oh, have you seen one?
You know what? I don't think I've seen one, but I felt the presence of them.
Where was it?
At my house.
The one you live in right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was my mom's house. And so when she passed, I was... A buddy of mine came from Alabama one night to give me his condolences. And we were downstairs and the room that she slept in was directly above us. And you could hear the floorboards like
squeaking.
It sounded like somebody was walking. And he was like, you here by yourself? And I was just like, yeah, this is my mom. And he was like, bro, what? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, that just happened. I went to a funeral yesterday. And I was talking to the people who, it was the mom that's passed. There's a camera in her room. No one's been in there and it's been set off 4 times in one day with nobody in there.
I don't believe in ghosts the way Hollywood portrays them.
Well, a hot guy's not going to hold me from behind while we work on pottery projects together.
That's funny. That's hilarious.
Amy's very into ghosts.
But I do believe in benevolent spirits. I just don't think they jump out and they're all dried up corpses going, ah! I don't believe in that part.
Is benevolent the good or the mal? Is that the good word?
I think the vanilla, the
there's like benevolent is nice. The one that's, right?
The M is the bad
one. Is it bad? I think. What's that M word that's bad?
It's damn it. I just had a brain freeze.
You're perimenopausal too, buddy. I'll tell you what. Sorry to be the one to break it to you. You got to get tested. You got to go to the doctor, get your cholesterol, your hormones.
I should. I got insurance now. I'm just going to take it.
You got to muscle tough.
Malevolent is having or showing a wish to do evil.
Mal is a bad word.
Yeah.
What was it again?
Malevolent.
Malevolent. And that's like the character in the Disney show.
Say that 100 times. Maleficent. In a row.
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah,
we all got a new word today.
My mom, though, she used to believe in them. She would like tell us that people would come talk to her in her dreams. And
Yeah. That happens, I think.
Well, yeah, I do. I definitely believe in like spirits.
Have you ever gone through like a rollerblading phase or scooter or roller skates?
Nah, roller skate, yeah.
Were you the roller skate kid?
When I was a kid.
Did you wear shorty shorts and a roller skate?
Heck no.
And really tall socks?
Nah. When I was a kid, we used to go on Sundays. It was a pretty popular place out in College Park that we would go. But that was mostly just hang out and
try to get girls'
phone numbers. Yeah. We rarely skated.
A landline number, no less.
Oh, yeah. Those are the days.
Yeah. Can I please talk to Jackie?
What did I tell you about calling this house this week?
Oh, sorry, sir.
Dad answered the phone where you get intimidated. You be all smooth. Yeah. Who is this? Hey, Mr. Copeland. How you doing, sir? Just trying to reach Jackie. She ain't here. Well, do any idea when she might be back? She'll call you. Okay, sir, bye.
She'll call you. Golly, right?
Remember three-way calling was the old screenshots. That was how we caught people up in their lives. Hey, don't say nothing, I'm going to call them. So how many girlfriends you got? It's just you. You ain't tell me that. What are you like?
Yeah,
those were the days, man.
Right. Did you ever do Boy Scouts?
Uh-uh.
Do you have an Eagle Scout friend?
Uh-uh. My dad tried to sign me up for it once, but the troop that I was supposed to join, I don't think it never really
made anything.
Going. Yeah.
Are you Star Wars or Star Trek?
You know what's crazy? I've never seen either. I have never seen
this
either.
This never happened.
I have never seen. I
now
know,
I feel like I'm in a dream.
I know all of the quotes for most of them.
You know the quotes just from like living in our culture? But you're just like, that's it. I'm not going to participate all the way. I'm not going to take the time to actually watch these movies that the rest of the world is enthralled with. Did you do Harry Potter?
Never seen Harry Potter.
Did you do the Marvels?
Some.
What's the other one?
What, like DC?
DC. Do you do DC?
I ain't seen
Do you
seen
watch
many.
Movies?
I absolutely do zombies. I only watch zombies. No, I'm joking. My dad used to... I saw The Last Boy Scout as a kid in the movie theater. Like, my dad took me to see, like...
What's The Last Boy Scout?
Menace to Society.
It sounds like, sexy.
No, it's Bruce Willis and Damon Wayans. It's actually pretty great movie.
Oh, is it good?
Yeah. It's late 80s, early 90s. Probably early 90s. But okay. I used to watch... Me and my dad would watch those kind of movies.
Okay.
He wasn't in... You kind of become an extension of what your parents like when you were a kid. And my dad was... It was sports and gangster films. That was it. So...
Okay. But now you're an adult and you have like... It's so easy to watch things on our phone. What do you do with your time? Are you just listening to your set the whole time? Or do you listen to podcasts?
I listen to podcasts. I read.
I can't read.
Been studying. I've been trying to learn Spanish. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. That is...
It's
been a challenge.
Difficile. Muy. It's hard.
You know what? It's just...
Joel's laughing at me.
It is... Blocking out the distractions to really...
Yeah, if you're looking at your yard all day so you can shoot somebody,
yeah,
it's going to take up your time.
Hey, I live in the West End, you know? You gotta man the battleship.
Your focus is divided.
Yeah, but I will say I can small talk with native speakers, I can kind of
that's huge.
Yeah,
to be able to, I can conjugate verbs, but I can't talk to nobody.
Really, it's the verbs is the hard part.
Well, that's the thing they taught us in my, like, I guess my generation coming up, it was all about conjugating verbs and not about actual fluency and being able to communicate. And now they've changed the way they teach second languages, so it's all about communicating and not all the doing math problems with letters.
Blech. I wanna hopefully by the time I do my show at Mexico, I wanna be able to at least do
a few minutes
in Spanish.
Spanish,
yeah,
that's really cool. That would be awesome if you get a video of that. I would love to see it.
Yeah, it'd be funny because I still have my Southern accent, so people they be laughing at me.
Right, but if you think about it, there's so many Latino folks in the United States, and the children are learning Spanish.
Yeah,
and they're also growing up in Tennessee or whatever. So yeah, it's just like the Spanish speakers who come from California have a funny accent. I'm
absolutely
told. So there's probably going to be ones from Georgia who are like, hola, Catalanway styles.
I started going to like Latin American countries, and the translator is cool, but it really doesn't convey your tone. And I'm a silly person. And so like when I get out and meet people, I like to genuinely be myself. And so I might be talking to the cab driver or something, and I text him something, you know, I type something in the translator, I'm like, yeah, it's going to be funny. And I show him, and he'd be like,
I'd be like, come on, bro.
You just messed up a good joke. And so that made me, on my first time there, I'm on the flight back and I'm like, I got to learn Spanish.
I hate it because I'm a communicator too. I like bonding with people. And so I hate not being able to speak a language, like to be in a country where I can't really connect because I can't make jokes. I can do clowny stuff, but it makes me feel very isolated if I can't communicate fully with people. I had a hard time in Japan.
Body language only gets you so far. You know, you want to be able to like, I was in Medellin last year and I had a 40-minute cab ride and my cab driver was hilarious. Yeah, he was like talking about the chicks and stuff and he was like, he was
in
really
English.
Funny. No, he was speaking in Spanish.
And you could understand.
And I could understand the majority of what he was saying. And I said a few things back and I got out the cab and I felt like I was like, I know a little Spanish.
That's so cool. All right, I'm going to ask two more quick questions. Do you like watching Jeopardy?
I used to.
Okay.
My grandmother was a big Jeopardy watcher. My family's Family Feud, though.
Is that their jam?
Yeah, they will watch 30 hours of it straight.
Oh,
we auditioned for it a couple years ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Didn't make it.
Do you get excited about school supply shopping? Or back in the day, did you get excited about that?
School clothes shopping.
Yeah.
More. Yeah, the school supplies just kind of came with the territory. But no. Nah,
okay.
I never went school supply shopping. Like, my mom was just kind of had that stuff ready for you. You know, you just get a big bag in your room.
Oh, you're not like, paper. I needed a blue folder this year for science class.
I used to hate when they used to make us put covers on our books. That was the worst ever.
The paper, we used the grocery bags to put a cover on your textbooks. I'm having a flashback.
So
and then you could decorate on it. You could put your future name, whoever you're going to marry.
1 year, that's probably not going to happen. But 1 year, I got cute and I took the inside of the Playboy magazine.
Okay.
And I wrapped my book. But it was no nudity. It was literally like the table
of
contents.
It's just the articles.
And I'll never forget, I had a social studies teacher. And he was standing by my desk one day, and I had the book on. He was like, "Where'd you get that from?" And I was like, "You pervert! You know what this is." And he was like, "That's pretty brilliant." And he kind of walked off. My teachers knew I was gonna do comedy. I remember I had a PE teacher. You know, you gotta do the pull-ups.
Yeah. We had to do the hang. You just hang how long you could hang there with your chin over it.
So we in class once, and my teacher's like, "Yeah, y'all gotta do pull-ups." So I hop up on the bar, and I do one, and I just jump down. And he's like, "Chapman, what are you doing? You gotta do it. You do it as many as you can." And I go, "Bro, if I'm ever on the side of a building, I'm only gotta pull myself up once." And the whole class just falls out. He's like, "Get out of here. Go to the locker room." I'm like, "What?" And okay. later on, the next day, he's like, hey, man, that was pretty genius, but I couldn't let you outshine me in class. I was like, hey, it's the truth.
Okay, this is, I diagnose people with what kind of nerd they are. And dude, you're a comedy nerd. Yeah, you're a comedy cool guy, actually.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about the laugh now.
You are all about the laugh, and you've been getting it your whole life, and you were like the go-to guy for roasting in school, and yeah,
you know,
Playboy
nobody
on
ever,
your book at school. Yeah.
Nobody ever asked me to do any comedy roles here. No one ever goes, hey, Ploy, you want to come
do
this roast?
You're such a sweet man, and I'm always happy to see you, especially backstage. You know, if anyone, like, if you have a bad set, I'll come over, see you. I'll come, like, I need a hug.
Hey, you've caught me on good days, because sometimes I'll be like, what the fuck was that? You know? I am on the list. We have a list that comes out every year in comedy of people that you don't want to sit by.
Oh.
And Wellington Ojukwu always wins, but I'm always in the top five of people that you do not sit by at comedy shows. I'll be like, get on this list. And I go, I know.
Oh, golly. All right. Well, thank you so much for being on our show.
Anytime.
Is there anything you're promoting? Say it right now.
Nothing really.
Okay.
I'm just.
You're going to get your website working. We found out it wasn't working.
Yeah, that guy.
Plug Chapman. I'll put links in the thing. And I'm, P.S., I'm selling hats. I have Goddess Sassy rainbow trucker hats in gray, green, and blue. It's on my site. I'll do a link. It's at Amy Brown Comedy in the merch department. And I will mail it to you with a love note.
Somebody bought one of my books online and.
You have a book?
Yeah, I got a book.
You wrote a book?
I wrote a book, yeah.
We've been here for an hour and 11 minutes, and you didn't bring up you have a book? I'm going to put a list together of things you talk podcasts. We're going to get your website working. We're going to get your list together of things to promote when you're on podcasts.
This lady wrote, she bought one, and when I saw the PayPal, the address didn't look right.
Uh-huh.
And I was just like, I'm not mailing no book to this address. So I sent her an email. I was like, hey, is this
your address?
Never heard back from her.
Oh, weird.
So I just got her book. Just
the money for the book.
Please get in contact with me if you see this and get this book because I wrote your name in it. So now that book, until I find another Emily, it's not going to be
any
good.
That's great. What's your book about?
It's just pretty much like a memoir about... just growing up and things that I've overcome. I used to work with a celebrity as an assistant.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Well, that would have been great to talk about on here, too.
A bunch of Hollywood stories.
Do you want to say which celebrity it was?
Oh, it was T.I., the rapper.
Oh. He's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, you worked from here.
Assistant.
Okay. And you live to tell the tale. Was he a nice person? Oh, that was a big pause. You don't have to answer that.
Hey,
I don't want to. I don't want to have to start carrying a gun.
She's got
to
read the book.
He paid.
I always got paid. You know,
that's good. That's what you want from your employer. You don't want the ones that don't pay.
Till he went to jail, then I was just like, okay, yeah. Next time, Gadget, we'll talk about
it. It's hard to find your checkbook when you're in jail, I'm told.
Yeah, that's a different story. But no, thanks for having me. Have fun.
All right, thank you so much.
For sure.